And at this time, I'm going to invite you guys to turn into your Bibles. We're going to look to God's Word for our scripture reading, the Gospel of Luke, or the words are on the screen behind you, in front of you.
Let us hear the word of the Lord. Please follow along in your Bibles or on the screen behind me. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Now, just before we continue, just two prayer items here that I just forgot to mention earlier. First of all, our brother in the Lord, Jason Stillman, is preaching this morning at Norwood Presbyterian Church. And so that's wonderful. And I know Kelly's here with the girls because of the Christmas program, but I think it's good that we can pray for Jason this morning. He has an opportunity to help this church right now. They don't have a pastor, but that we would pray that the Lord just speaks through him to bless that congregation. And second of all, Allie Mitchinson, her mother has turned ill, and she is in ICU in Bowmanville. So she isn't doing very well at all. So Andrew has asked if, as a congregation, we would pray for Allie's mother, Allie Mitchinson's mother. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this new day, Lord, that as we come together as a community of faith, Lord, we look to you for help. We look to you for strength. We thank you, Lord, for seeing us through another week. And that, Lord, when we gather like this together, we do come to praise you for your goodness, for your hand that always provides and protects, leads us each and every day. We thank you for your presence in this place, and we thank you for the work you're doing in our lives and the work that you're doing in those sitting next to us. And Lord, we do thank you for them and for the importance they are in our lives. And Lord, would you just bless them and fill each one before us, behind us, beside us, Lord, with a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, we need you so much. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness and your goodness, your mercies, which are new every morning. Praise the Lord. Lord, at this time, we do lift up Jason Stillman to you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity that our brother in the Lord has to preach the word of God at this church in Norwood. And we just pray that you would bless him, Lord, and speak through him and bless this congregation, Lord, as they desire to know you and as they, Lord, desire to have the word of God preached to them. So, Lord, just give him strength, Lord, give him courage. And we thank you, Lord, again, for his willingness to be used by you, Lord, to encourage and bless this congregation in Norwood at the Presbyterian Church there. Lord, we also just lift up to you Allie Mitchinson's mother. Lord, this is a prayer request that we have just heard this morning. And Lord, we just lift up Allie to you and Andrew and the kids. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless Allie's mother with healing. We don't know all the details, but Lord, we know you do. And we know that her life is in your hands. And so, Lord, we do pray for a mighty work, again, of your healing power just to just come over her, Lord Jesus, and to help her just get stronger and better. We pray for a complete healing from head to toe in her body of whatever is ailing her, whatever is causing sickness or infection in her body. And we thank you, Lord, that in the powerful name of Jesus, there is healing, and there is freedom, and there is victory. And Lord, not just for Allie's mother, but for all those that we know this morning that aren't well, that are sick, that are struggling with any health issues. Lord Jesus, we lift them up to you, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of miracles. You are working wonders all across this world. And we just do pray, Lord, for just your supernatural touch to come upon those in need of your healing this morning. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we look to God's word this morning, can you please just have your Bibles open to this gospel? And if you're using the black Bibles, it's page 1019. And as we look to God's word, I want to begin just with this story about a man who was watching the news one night. And as he's watching the news, it was reported that there was a car going the wrong direction on the freeway. Scary. The man knew that his wife was on that freeway and became very concerned, and so he called her on the cell phone. So she answered, and he said, "Honey, there's one car on the freeway that's going in the wrong direction." She exclaimed, "One car? There are hundreds of them." Are you heading in the right direction? That's the sermon. Think about that. Pray about that on your way home. It doesn't do much, folks. It doesn't do much good to go fast if you're not going in the right direction. Never. And when you're driving in the wrong direction, of course, you're bound to cause trouble for yourself, stress for your spouse, or certainly you're going to cause trouble for others. And yet, many people, many, many of us, Christian or not, we're living our lives. We're busy. Our lives are full. We're moving along, but we haven't stopped. Or perhaps we're not stopping enough to evaluate whether the direction that we're heading is the right direction, is God's direction for our lives. And before we know it, life has whizzed by, but we haven't spent it focused on the right purpose. Do you hear me? Let me ask you, is your life heading in the right direction this morning? And that's a pretty general question, but it's something that I want you to think about in every part of your life, every room in your heart, for there are many. Is Jesus Lord in every room? Are you heading in the right directions? And as you know, as Christians, we would all agree that if we want to spend our lives properly, we must be in line with God's purpose. And certainly our lives must be in line with God's word. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, that you have opened before you, we see the Lord Jesus helping some fishermen get their lives aimed in the right direction. And this event in our text takes place as Jesus is beginning his ministry. And it hasn't been that long as the Gospel of Luke slowly unfolds Christ's ministry and what he was doing. And he's not alone in this passage, as we read. He is with some of his disciples. James and John are there, and perhaps some others, such as Peter's brother Andrew, were present. But the focus in our text is on one particular man, and that is Peter. Jesus and Peter. Now, these men had all met Jesus already, so it's important that you know that. They've heard of Jesus. They've been with Jesus. And they had begun to follow him, but they were not yet completely committed to his mission. And they had gone back to their old way of life, which was fishing. And then when Jesus showed up in our passage, their lives were turned around in the right direction. And there are times when Jesus shows up in our lives and says, "You're here and you need to be here." Have you ever had that experience? It's very humbling. And perhaps you need that. And so I'd encourage you, humble yourselves before the Lord today if he has a word for you. Now, again, Jesus shows up and everything changes. And it's important for us to, you know, reflect on, am I living my life God's way, or I'm just doing this my own way? Now, join with me in the text. And verse 1, imagine with me this scene, all right? One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, people crowding around him, listening to the word of God, it says, Jesus is here teaching, and the people were crowding around him. It's important. Jesus and crowds. Boy, there's a sermon series right there as you go through the Gospels. Jesus loved the crowds. And they're tightly getting, it's a tight bunch. They're getting closer and closer to the Lord. They can't get enough of him. Jesus has become so popular by now because of his teaching, his healing, his miracles that people can't get enough of him. And so we learn in chapter 4 all about the ministry he started through his teaching and his healing ministry. And word about him has spread, and people across the land want to be where Jesus is. Isn't that wonderful? Is that what you want? You want to be where Jesus is? They are drawn to him. People are excited to be near Jesus and for what he will do next. What's Jesus going to do next? What's he going to say next? There's this expectation and excitement. In chapter 4, verse 32, if you rewind to that, we learn this. As Jesus was teaching, there was this awe. As he's teaching about the kingdom of God and the good news, people are listening to him and they realize that he is teaching with an authority that they've never heard before. As Peter said in John 6, verse 68, when Jesus said, "What about you?" People are having a hard time understanding what he was talking about. And then he looks at his disciples and say, "What about you? Are you going to leave, abandon me as well?" To which Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The words of Jesus bring life, eternal life, everlasting life. The text tells the people were crowding around Jesus and listening to the word of God. And it's interesting because the word translated listening in your text means to hear, means to acknowledge, to understand, but it also means to heed. And we don't use that word a lot in our vocabulary, the word heed. But these people were not just hearing what Jesus had to say, but they were also heeding his words. And to heed something, do you know what that means? It means not just to pay attention to it, but it also means to follow it. So if you heed someone's advice or warning, you pay attention to it, and you do what they say, what they're suggesting. For example, if I told you that if you keep walking down this street, you're going to end up in a pit, you're going to fall, and you're not going to be able to get out. And if you kept walking, did you heed my advice? No. You listened, but you didn't heed my words, and you could fall and get yourself in a mess. This crowd was listening and following the words Jesus taught them. And so we need to also be people that not only are listening to the word of God and also doing what it says. So turn to the person next to you and say, "Heed." Heed. Now in verse 2, the crowds are pressing in. Notice who isn't hanging on the words of Jesus. Who isn't pressing in to listen to what Jesus has to say? It's Peter. The star of the show. It's who this entire passage is all about. He begins this time what? He's disinterested. What's Peter doing in our passage, right? He's tending to the nets. And it's not that he doesn't care about what Jesus is saying, but he's more interested in what he's doing. He's more interested in his trade, what keeps him busy. Yeah, I'm sure he was a very passionate fisherman, but that's where his focus is right now. Peter is unwilling to say, "Okay, the nets can wait. The nets can wait. I want to hear what Jesus has to say." That was not his focus. And my guess there is that there are some people even here today, you're distracted, okay? You're disinterested. It's not that you don't care about Jesus, but you've allowed something else to come between you and sitting at his feet, listening, soaking, pressing in. "Jesus, what do you have to say to me today?" And there's some people here that are disinterested, and it's because you have lost your focus on the Lord. You're not living according to God's purpose. And that's exactly where Peter was when we encounter him today in our text. We learn in verse 2, the crowd was so big, what did Jesus have to do? Jesus has to actually get off the land and get into a boat. Into one of the boats and teach the crowd from there. And the boat he got into, well, it belonged to Peter. Verse 3, it says, He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus steps into Simon's boat and asks him to put out from shore. And by using the boat, you know, Jesus would just reach more people with the good news of the kingdom of God. He would be able to reach more people from a boat on water rather than trying to yell, right, at head level over this crowd of people that were in front of him. So if you've ever been in a room full of people and you need to get their attention, sometimes you might see somebody stand on a chair. I've done that many times. Or get up on a platform. You can reach more people. And so this is what Jesus does. And once in the boat, Jesus sat down and began to teach. What did he teach about? He taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about the good news of great joy that is for all people. Repent and believe in the words that I say. And they hung on his every word. And there's such a wonderful lesson in these opening verses, and it's just very simple. It's this importance of listening and learning from God's word. You know, Jesus will meet you where you are at always. And he will teach you what you need to hear if you are listening. You just have to get close to him like this crowd. And they were pressing in to hear him speak. So are you in that crowd today? Do you want to be in that crowd today? And if you do, pray, Lord, by your Spirit, stir in me a hunger, thirst for your word like never before. Or are you distracted by the things of this life and you're tending to them instead? Now, like the people in the crowd, it's essential in the Christian life to look to Jesus. Look, listen to what he has to say, and learn from Jesus. Very simple instruction. We could end the sermon here and go home and do just that. Jesus wants you to know him. Jesus wants us to listen, accept, and believe his words. And as believers, praise the Lord, we have been given the Holy Spirit who leads and guides each one of us into all truth. This is how we grow up in our faith. For we all need a strong and solid foundation to build our lives upon, a foundation of truth. And truth is found in God's word. For later in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, a very familiar passage to many, Jesus once said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." A picture paints 1,000 words. What are you building your life upon? And so it's important to know, what is it? Am I allowing to influence the foundation of my life? According to Jesus, if you are not building your life on God's word, according to Jesus, your faith will not have a solid foundation, and it will end in ruins. There is no substitute for God's word. And if you choose to ignore the word of God, if you avoid it, neglect it, your life will be influenced by something other than God's word. And again, there's no substitute for God's word. Popular culture, it's always changing. What kind of a foundation would that be that's always changing? Traditions, reason, emotions. There's just a few other types of sources that influence the foundation upon which we build our lives. You need to build a foundation that can withstand the chaos, the confusion, especially in our day, right, that is out there. Would you say that there are a lot of confused people in our world today? Yes. There are a lot of people that just don't know and haven't yet understood what God's word says about who they are, why they're here, and where we're going. But it's all right here. Receive it, believe it, and live it out in your life. Again, the crowds were intent on listening to Jesus for a reason. They were searching. They were on a quest to find God, and there Jesus was giving them the answers. So who are you listening to? In the opening verses, Jesus is teaching God's word. But what is Peter doing again? Peter is working at his fishing business, cleaning their nets after a frustrating night of fishing with no catch. Move along with me to verse 4. When he had finished speaking, that is Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. So in verse 4, there's a bit of a shift because Jesus now turns from the crowd and he addresses Peter. And so now we have this beautiful one-on-one exchange here. Don't you love how God is so personal? Yes, he is speaking to each one of us right now in a different way in this room, but he's also dealing with each one of us personally with where we're at. And he will meet you where you're at. And he knows that Peter has had a really hard night fishing. It was not a good shift. And he tells Peter, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And what happens next changes Peter's life. And it changes his focus from doing what he thought was best to doing what God's purpose for his life was. Later, Jesus said, do not fear, for now, from now on, you will be catching men. You won't be catching fish. And the word catch literally means to capture alive, to capture alive. And so this narrative shows us Jesus now transforms Peter, and he is transforming everyday people, even sinful people like Peter, into his servants, into his ambassadors and representatives involved in this great cause of catching people for the kingdom of God. It teaches us that the greatest purpose we can have in life is to follow Jesus and reaching the lost for Christ. Now, there are some key lessons that we can learn from verse 5 onwards when it comes to living out God's purpose for our lives. The first one is obey the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, obey God. Very simple. In verse 4, what does Jesus do? Jesus is in Peter's boat, and he asks him to put out a little way from the land so that he can teach the crowd without pressing against him. What does Peter do? He says, okay, and he obeys. Then, when Jesus is through his teaching, Jesus directly commands Peter to put out into deep and let down the nets for a catch, the other side of the boat. And let me stop here. Here is a carpenter telling a fisherman what to do. Peter, how does Peter respond? He's tired. He's frustrated. This was not a good night. And he's being told how to do his job that he has been doing all his life. But what does Peter do? How does he respond in verse 5? Well, Simon answered, Master, we haven't worked all night and haven't caught anything. We've worked all night. We've caught no fish. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. That's the important part. He obeys. He obeys the word of God. He does what Jesus has told him to do. You know, there is something about Jesus that Peter knows it. This man has power. He has yet to fully understand who Jesus really is, but he knows that he is someone powerful because he has performed miracles. He healed his own mother-in-law back in chapter 4, so Peter obeys. Listen, when we have faith in the Lord, we show this by being obedient. His word, obedient to his word. Peter at first you can see he almost argued a little bit. We'd spent all night. Nothing's going to change. But then he took the Lord at his word. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. So important lesson there, faith in God. How does it show itself? Through obedience. This teaches us that we often do things our own way to find that our own ways alone never work. It won't. So just stop. Just stop. It gives us no visible result, and often, if anything, just frustrates us, and then we have a whole new host of emotions. Anger, resentment, doubt. Peter's obedience, because he obeyed the Lord, then resulted in this miraculous catch. When it comes to living out God's purpose for your life, obey the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus. But then also you must have the right focus. That's the next point. Okay? Obey, focus. Have the right focus on God and that your life is about glorifying him. That he is getting the glory for the great things that he is doing in your life and how he is providing for you. When you become a Christian, Jesus changes your heart and he changes your reason for living. Everything about life changes when you encounter Jesus. Your view of yourself, your view of the world, your view of right and wrong, values, what you value, how you spend your time changes. You know, Peter had a fishing business, and like every businessman, his focus was on being successful and making money, providing for himself. Isn't that what every businessman wants, or woman? But Jesus' words to us in Matthew 6 say, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but rather seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So whatever you do to make a living, your main goal should be to glorify God. And your main focus should be to be a witness of Jesus Christ through your life, through your behavior, through your words, through your attitudes, so that if people see your good deeds, they will glorify our Father in heaven. So Peter and these other fishermen, they just had what was probably the most successful catch of their careers. Don't miss that point. They had never caught this many fish in one time. Now, it's because Jesus showed up, isn't it? Never in all of their lives have they caught as many fish at one time. And so in today's terminology, we could say that it was their big contract. This was the huge opportunity, like the gold miner finding the gold, and he just has to keep going back. This was the money-making chance of a lifetime. Their boat had finally come in, and now Jesus says to them, "Leave it. From now on, you will catch men," he says. You think this is a big success? It's a bigger success to catch men, to reach the lost for Jesus. You think catching a boatload of fish is exciting? How about reeling in a human life into the kingdom of God? That is more exciting because that has eternal value. And so they're looking at this massive catch of fish, and it's not like, wow, we're going to profit from this for the rest of the month. No, they leave it all behind and follow Jesus, as we learn later. But because Jesus clearly stated, Jesus stated a new focus for them, we read instead in verse 11, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. So things changed. There was a pretty massive shift in their focus from this moment on because of what Jesus did and because of what Jesus said. Christ and his purpose has now captivated them. And when Jesus showed up that day, the direction of their lives changed. So I'm going back to that question. Are you living Christ's purpose for your life? Are you living for Christ's purpose? Now, this does not mean that you must all stop what you're doing to be gifted in evangelism and go out into full-time ministry. Only some are called to do that. And the Lord perhaps may call you into that. But it does mean that where you are right now, because you have met Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your life is not your own. You get that? You no longer are living for selfish purposes. You live to glorify Jesus Christ and to use the gifts that he has given you to help in the great cause of reaching people for him. That's an exciting journey to be, "Lord, here I am, use me." And when you pray that, he will show you how he can use you. Whether directly through your verbal witness or indirectly through your example, your giving, your good works, your service or whatever, there will be people in heaven because you did not live for yourself, but for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Lastly, and as we close, grow in your understanding of who Jesus is and of who you are. We can't overlook how Peter responded to this massive catch of fish that came in. You know, Peter had already had much contact with Jesus, but this miracle affecting his personal trade hit home in a way the others had not. Look at how Peter responded after this miraculous catch of fish in verse 8. What does it say? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Just consider that response. Peter's response initially surprises. Is this the way you would respond to a miracle? Why is it that this event caused Peter to realize his own sinfulness? Put yourself in his shoes. How would you respond if you just caught a record-breaking number of fish? Well, if you YouTube that, you're just going to see a lot of celebration, a lot of photos being taken, a lot of yelling and shouting. But Peter does the exact opposite. He fell down before the Lord, and he tells Jesus to leave him because of how sinful he is. Why does he do this? Because in that moment, Peter realized the power of Jesus, the holiness of God, and that God would supply all of his needs. If he follows Jesus, he will not go without clothes. He will not go without food. He will not go without peace. He will not go without joy. Peter realizes his own proud and arrogant self-sufficiency. Peter has realized there is nothing more important than following Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, he promises to provide for our every need. So making someone or making something else in our lives more important than following Jesus is really like just heading down the freeway in the wrong direction. Peter responds in complete broken humility. He realizes that he has just doubted and severely underestimated Jesus and now is overwhelmed by seeing who Jesus is, his power displayed. This man is more than a carpenter. He is holy. He is powerful. Peter humbles himself before Jesus and sees his own lack of holiness in the presence of the Holy One of God. And so when man sees the glory of God, he cannot help but fall down in reverence, in awe, in adoration, in worship. And so we must each grow in our understanding of ourselves before God. We are weak, but he is strong. We must grow in our understanding of ourselves as sinners who do not deserve his grace, but who are transformed by it daily. You know, Peter, he had gone back to fishing, but he had found that nothing in the entire world compared to being with Jesus, hearing his word, believing his word, and obeying his word. And Peter became one of the greatest fishers of men the world has ever seen. And it's all because of the time when Jesus said, "Come, follow me, Peter." And Peter responded, "Yes, I will." Will that be your answer today? Yes, I will. Is your life heading in the right direction? Are you focused on the Lord's work or on your own? The greatest purpose we can have in this life is to follow Jesus and let us reach the lost for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your word, for the ministry of your word. Lord, help us to understand these truths, these spiritual truths that cover the pages of your word. Help us not only to understand it, but also to believe it, receive it, and to put it into practice, whereby our faith just will grow deeper and deeper. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Lord, help us to be like Peter. Just may we in humility just bow before you and submit to your reign in our hearts today as we hear your word and obey it. In Jesus' name, amen.